a deliberately planned false flag or whether it is accidental or a blowback or an unintended consequence, it's always used to expand the state.
Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Our mission is to bring you great interviews with preppers from around the world so you can be better informed and better prepared for everything from a hurricane to the end of the world as we know it. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today. Today's guest is author and attorney Cal Wilson. Cal, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Mark. Great to be on your show.
Oh, absolutely. And you're my first guest in the new studio here in what I'm effectively calling the Florida readout. It's a little tongue-in-cheek because Florida is not really a super survivable place, but it's the best you can do in Florida where I finally got relocated to. And yeah. I'm just getting settled in here. And this is the first show being recorded in the new studio. So
I feel honored.
Oh, absolutely.
To be on your inaugural show here.
And I'm honored to have you as the first guest in the new studio. So I appreciate you coming on and making time for us. Now, your last book, Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping, did really well. And you've got a new book coming out. Can you tell us about that?
That's right. It's going to be a book series called The Camouflage Cross, Book One. And it's basically a fictional post-apocalyptic story where I try to match things as they are predicted in the Bible. So a whole bunch of things go wrong with the world all at once, just as it's predicted in parts of the Bible, like Revelation, Matthew 24, so forth. And it's called Book One, Just Run. And this first book takes place right after everybody has bugged out. Everybody has the agreed upon signal, and they've heard the signal, and they all converge on this retreat location. And it's just the first month or so of their their prepper time there. So it's pretty exciting.
And one of the catalysts for the calamity in the book is sort of a low tech attack on electrical substations. Is that right?
Right. That's one of the many things that have gone wrong in the setup in the book here. I call it Metcalfing because there was I believe a trial run a little over a year ago or a year and a half ago south of Silicon Valley in California, where in the middle of the night several people showed up in an electrical substation with AK-47s and just shot it up. And in the intervening, weeks and months, there were a number of newspaper articles on what happened there. Of course, the FBI says there was no terrorist attack or anything. But the facts came out that, there are several of these electrical substations around the country, well, thousands, but all it would take is between 9 and 100 taken out, by gunfire, and the whole grid for the whole U.S. would be down for weeks to months, it said in my research. So that's something that it's pretty much off everybody's radar, but like it's called in the book, a poor man's EMP, where it's a way, it won't fry electronics, but it'll just shut down the electronic grid throughout the whole country. And it's done by what I saw, or actually what I researched a year and a half ago, shooting up an electrical substation with AK-47s. So that's one of the things that happens in this book, where it's just done throughout the country and it shuts down the grid.
And 9 or 10 of them, like you said, would just cause a sort of cascading failure, and then we'd be in the dark. And I guess that's a pretty realistic threat. What does that look like in the book? I mean, how livable are the cities during that period, and what's going on with grocery stores and that sort of thing? What's that landscape look like?
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. It's mass chaos. Food supplies just come down to nothing, and then it's a lot of rioting that happens. My characters are not going through the cities just yet. That's ahead in book two. But one of the latecomers to our group comes to the group and explains what he saw at one of the substations that got shot up. And then he says, haven't you guys noticed how the nighttime sky is so clear with stars that there's no light reflecting from a nearby city because it's all dark? You know, and that's what would happen if I think the lowest number I've read was 9, but the highest I've read was 100 of these electrical substations around the country getting shot up. So, it's pretty scary. And even to this day, when you think about it, these substations are not protected at all. It kind of, you know, the more research I did into this reminds me of the old days in the airports, you know, before they cared about security, because there were no hijacks or planes being blown out of the sky or anything like that, you know, like back in the 50s, now that's where we're at with electronic substations. You just drive right by them, and there's nothing separating you from an electrical substation but like a chain link fence, you know. So it's pretty scary.
And I like that about the being able to see the stars, because I'm just getting out of such a urban area myself and getting out to a sort of a semi-rural area. It's nice to look up and see the stars. But if you're in a city and you look up and see the stars, then stuff's going really, really wrong around you. And I think you're right. I think we would see a lot of rioting because, you know, just there's so much civil unrest right now in people's minds. They're just everybody's geared up for a fight, and it just wouldn't take much, and you get it's kind of a tinderbox right now, our whole society, I think.
Yeah, a few years ago I remember a news story, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was at a Walmart, where just some welfare cards didn't work, and there was like a riot or like a run on the grocery part of the store or something like that.
Cleared the shelves out in a matter of a couple of hours. There was one, and I didn't get all of the information completely correct, but it incurred in three different states, and in one of the states, I think there was no limit on the cards for some period of time, and then I think in the other two states it didn't work. That might not be exactly correct, but that's pretty close to what happened. And where there was no limit, they were just basically clearing the shelves.
Yeah, and if you can imagine, that was just a couple of days worth. And
here, a couple hours. You know, it was a couple of hours.
Book one of my series here. It's several weeks of empty shelves, and then. The delivery trucks get stopped on the road by gunmen, and the drivers just take off running, and then the trucks get looted, stuff like that. It's total chaotic, pretty scary situation, all happening at once, you know, with the electrical substations, the containers having nuclear bombs blow up in port cities. I could go on. Pretty scary.
And what type of preparation would you do, or would you recommend, that would be different from just general preparation to get ready for a grid failure?
You know, I'm not sure. All you can do, really, to be perfectly prepared is to go out and get some junk land, like I talked about in my first book, and prepare to just live off the grid already. Even people who have done that, I'm still not sure that they're fully prepared still. So that's why I spent a lot of time in my first book talking about stuff you can accumulate so that whatever shortcomings you have, you can barter for the rest. You know, so that whatever you need, you'll be able to barter with stuff that is that you're accumulating now that's really cheap. You know, like salt or spices, medical equipment, you know, Band-Aids, whatever, stuff like that. So even if you are able to live off the grid right now, it's still a good idea to accumulate stuff to barter with, just to cover, just to make sure, extra sure that you're covered.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. KD Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Their plates are available with Rhino Linings coatings to reduce spaw. Go to KDArmor.com, that's CATIArmor.com today.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Cal, what's on your radar on the economic front?
I was surprised that the last reading was 0.2% growth for the last quarter, which means that we're kind of in that gray area where we might be in a recession right now. At the very least, we're in a very slow economy, if not contracting economy right now. So we could be in a recession, and I'm not too impressed with what's going on in Washington that they're trying to move things along. So that's my take of it right now. Just kind of dead in the water.
And I think what a lot of the economists call that is a stall speed, which, you know, anybody that's semi familiar with flying in a plane can just imagine that that's not a good thing.
Yeah, and if you're doing that in a plane, you hear the alarm going off. Well, I think in the news version that alarm is you know, where you see these reports from all over. You know, it's not only the economy reading of being 0.2, but it's revised downwards, and then it's durable goods orders and new home orders and stuff like that. It's all kind of saying the same thing, that we're just very tepid right now.
Now, Yahoo had a story that there's a lot of foreign money pouring into the U.S. now for real estate, and I'm wondering if that's the beginning of a trend of foreigners that are just really getting nervous about the dollar. And all those dollars that are being held outside of U.S. borders, if they all start flooding back in here, we're really going to be looking at some serious price increases.
Yeah, it could be. You know, as poorly managed as the dollar is, when you think about it, the other currencies in the world could very well even be worse off. You know, the euro right now, you know, Greece is a problem that's festering. And it could be that people just want to repatriate those dollars into the U.S. Only because a lot of times things are even worse elsewhere, you know.
And are you suffering from Grexit fatigue? I mean, we've been hearing about that for a while, and I think folks are starting to become complacent about it. And do you think it's something that we need to stay vigilant and keep paying attention to, the Grexit, or do you think it's overblown?
Oh, yeah, it's something, it's one among many things we need to be careful of, need to be aware of. You know, there's still a lot of loans out there that, you know, if interest rates go up just a tick or two, we're still a very heavily debted country, and we'll be paying a lot of interest just on our current debt. I think it's your website, right, that has the cumulative debt I'm looking at it right here. 18. Yeah, it seems like only yesterday that gross national debt was in the 17 trillion. It's pretty scary that with this much debt, only a few percentage points of raising the interest rate would be pretty bad.
Yeah, it'll consume the entire GDP.
Yep.
And the job numbers they fed us at the beginning of this quarter weren't so bad last month, but labor participation's really bad. We've got 93 million people right now without jobs in America. What do you think that means for our future?
Yeah, I never thought I would see that. Yeah, it's like the unemployment rate gets a little better whenever somebody gives up on their job search.
Yeah.
And I think that's combined. That's what we're seeing right now. That whatever improvement we have on the unemployment rate is solely because people have just given up. Just say, forget it. I'm out of here. And so that's why the job participation rate is what it is. So it all spells out to be a pretty weak economy. It's definitely not morning in America. That's for sure.
And I can't let you get away without asking some legal questions. So do you see any legal issues with Jade Helm?
I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, Jade Helm, it's the exercise where the military is going to be conducting exercises in Texas and Florida and several other states to basically training in U.S. cities on in just training amongst civilians, and as opposed to doing their regular training on their bases.
Yeah, it's something. I'm not sure how I feel legally about it, but it's always something to be concerned with when you see. I know what you're talking about. The military exercises going on near civilian areas. I have to say I don't know what to think about it, but I'm definitely concerned.
And now, if it were more than an exercise, because most people that serve in the military will tell you that they train to operate in the area that they're planning to mm-hmm. have operations. So if you're gonna do an operation in the woods, you're going to train in the woods. And if you're going to do an operation in the desert, you'll go train in the desert. And so if they're training in American cities, it makes you think that they're training to do something in American cities. So if we had something that was, whether it's because they're anticipating some type of an event this September, or whether they're anticipating whatever it happens to be, mass civil unrest because of the constant race baiting that we get from the media, or whatever it happens to be. If it were more than an exercise, how would that jive with posse comitatus laws?
Yeah, well, that's something. It's been a while since I've looked into that that law. It would be a violation, from what I know, of the posse comitatus laws, that the military is not allowed to, or not supposed to, have to do with civilian areas. But it doesn't seem like Washington is filled with people who want to check up on that. That's kind of depressing in that respect. That pretty much the federal government can do whatever, there's no one's going to say a peep to it. The immigration law was one example of that. It's not really a law, but the changes made in the immigration law unilaterally by President Obama, that's really legislation that he just signed as an executive order. And that's another example of what you're talking about, that no one is pretty much, it's left to one judge in Texas on that immigration law, that no one is challenging the federal government and what it's doing.
And considering that the Bill of Rights has served as little more than a minor nuisance to the federal government in recent years, I don't suppose posse comitatus would be viewed as any type of a sacred cow that they're really worried about violating. So
yeah.
I suppose that at the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do, regardless of what laws are on the books.
I've always thought the Second Amendment would be in the crosshairs, but strangely enough, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, it seems like that's the one under attack big time nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, sure, you have freedom of speech, but unless we can call it hate speech or unless it offends somebody, then you really have to keep your mouth shut, you know?
Yeah.
And that's precisely the type of speech that was designed to be protected by the people who wrote the First Amendment. That kind of unpopular speech that a lot of people might find disagreeable, that's what needs protection. And nowadays, that's exactly the kind of speech that's getting compromised.
Yeah, because if everybody agrees with it, it doesn't need any protection. You don't really need amendments for that. So they would have never written that in there if it wasn't for things that some sector or group was going to find offensive.
Right. It's not like the First Amendment is written that you have a right to free speech unless it offends somebody.
And Cal, can you remind us again the name of your new book and where we can find it?
Sure. It's the name will be The Camouflaged Cross, and that's a little bit of symbolism that's explained in the book. The Camouflaged Cross, and like I say, it's available wherever fine books are sold, so long as we're talking about Amazon and Kindle. But it's going to be first in a series, and the first one is called Book One, Just Run. And because it's first in a series, it's going to be really inexpensive. Like, I think the Kindle is going to be 99 cents. I'm looking over the options for the paperback, but it's definitely going to be inexpensive, to hook people in on this first book.
Sure thing. And your first book or your last book, your last nonfiction book, anyway, Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping, and they can get that on Amazon as well. Is that right?
Right, Amazon and Kindle, and I can't remember, I think that's also pretty inexpensive. I think it's $8 paperback, $3 Kindle, and it's still doing well. The paperback version is doing better because, that's the people who buy prepper books want to have a book available in case the grid goes down or EMP or whatever, you know.
Right. Right. And just to remind everybody, that's got a lot of great tips on just especially cheap barter items like you were talking about before, because that's like you said, if we lose our currency, silver, gold, those are great forms of wealth preservation. But in the very beginning, until you have some type of a valuation established for silver, people are going to be very much looking for utilitarian items, and that's really a lot of what you talk about in Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping.
Thanks. Yeah, it's one of the assumptions is that no one will be able to be perfectly prepared. So you might as well stock up on stuff that you can barter to take care of those holes in your preps, those things that you aren't prepared for.
Sure,
that's what this book is about.
It's hard to anticipate what you're going to need sometimes.
Yeah, you never know.
Count. Thanks.
Plus, I'd like to think there's this might be the only one prepper book out there with a little bit of humor in it, like I invoked the movie Blazing Saddles towards the end there.
Yeah.
So anyway, had some fun with it.
Cal, thanks so much for taking time to come back on the show.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.